Good morning, everyone. Y'all come on in. Let me get everything situated. We're going to be kicking off talking about all things. Today is going to be the top three things you should know about waiting for hunger. We're going to discuss that. And I'm going to get my coach on stage. Here comes Kathy. She will be in the Q&A. Of course, y'all will be in the chat. Let me get the screen set up. That's not right. I keep getting my screen set the wrong way. Oh, y'all, I am feeling it this morning. I did a run this morning. I've not run in a long time. I don't know what got in my ass, but I was just like, you know what? I don't feel like lifting legs today. I didn't have a lot of time to lift, and I just got my brand new workouts for the next month. And the leg day is long. It is five sets and five different exercises. So that's like 25 total sets. And two of the exercises are single leg type exercises. So, I mean, it might as well fucking take an hour at this point. And I was like, wow, I don't have an hour. And I also don't have the kind of energy and strength to go wickedly fast with it. Sometimes with workouts, you can either, like, you can lift a little less heavy, you can shorten your breaks. And then do things with tighter breaks, and that will stimulate the muscle in one way. And then, but if you're more like me, I like to take at least a minute to 2 minutes between each set because I like to lift super heavy. And so I like to give myself plenty of time to rest, and then I'm ready to go again. Well, if I was going to do that, I was going to take an hour today. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to run. I'm going to put in some Kirsten Ferguson, who is one of my favorite Peloton instructors. I did her little run, and then I had to get ready, and I ate my bagel this morning. I had, my Dave's Killer Bread bagel with my Greek yogurt. In fact, I just threw away the remnants, but with my Greek yogurt, it's one of my favorite breakfasts. Right now, I'm rotating between four breakfasts. So, for you who plan, this is like how I like to do it, which is like the whole thing about planning. And we're going to do a class later this month on planning. Is it's not so much about like you only get to plan one thing on your plan. It's the like spirit of the law is you're being intentional about what you're going to eat. You're thinking ahead about what you're going to eat. You're making choices for yourself about what you're going to eat using your rational brain, like using the part of your brain that takes into consideration your goals. It takes into consideration your wants and your desires. It takes into consideration your time constraints, how busy you are, how relaxed you're going to be. It also takes into consideration your emotions and stuff. So when we're planning, when y'all are thinking about your 24-hour plan, I don't want you to mistake that it's like, I have to put this one thing on there, and that is the only thing I get to eat, and that is so unfair, and how the fuck will I even know what I'm going to want later, and blah, blah, blah. Y'all, this is not a dramatic event to create a plan for yourself. This is literally just making some decisions for yourself. So that you don't have to go into meals hoping you'll be a good girl, but stressed and fucked and like tired and all this other stuff from your day or from your worries and your anxieties. And then you're like, let me take the version of me who's, you know, running around nervous as a cat in a rocking chair competition, sitting there trying to make food decisions. She should never be put in that position. I want you to think about that version of you. She should never be put into that position. Why would we ever want to take a version of us who is tired, who doesn't want to think about food, who is likely to want just whatever sounds good in the moment? Why would we ever want to say, I think I should burden you with making sure that our dreams and goals are met? She's the worst person to do it. She just wants to fucking relax. Her goal is very different than 8 a.m. Corinne. So when I'm planning my food, I take all that in consideration. So right now I've got like four breakfasts that are wonderful for me on steady rotation. And when I get up in the morning, I just decide which one sounds good today, knowing there's a version of me who decided these four options, you like them, they serve very different needs. And you just pick one based on what you need that day. Simple as that. You can do that with your dinners. You can do that with your snacks. You can do that with your lunches. You can do it with all of it. You can do it with your workouts. You could do this with so many different things in life. So right now it's Dave's Killer Cinnamon Raisin Bagel with Okios Greek yogurt. That's option one. It happens to be one of my favorites because it's like whenever on days when I have like kind of more of a sweet tooth for breakfast, which most of the time I have more of a savory tooth, but when I have a sweet tooth, that's the one that always does the trick. I love it. And it's wicked fast. I keep the bagels in the freezer. I pop one out. I microwave it for 30 seconds. And while that's microwaving, I stir my fiber and my creatine into my yogurt. And then I sit down and I am like literally done with breakfast in 3 to 4 minutes. And then I can just get on with my day and I enjoy the shit out of it. My second breakfast right now is oatmeal, just regular oatmeal cooked in a microwave. My microwave cooks super hot and fast. So it's like 2 minutes, but a lot of times you microwave, it can be 2.5 to 3 minutes. Mine is like two, and two makes the bowl want to run over. So I do oatmeal with cottage cheese in it. I use Splenda, but if you don't want Splenda, use sugar. If you don't want to use sugar, use fruit. Use whatever floats your damn boat. I like Splenda. I'm a Splenda whore. We used to tease whenever we would go to the bar. This bar we used to go to like 15, 20 years ago. The cover band would always play Pour Some Sugar On Me. And Chris and I would sing Pour Some Splenda On Me. So... Sorry, I am just coughing like just this morning. I've got so much sinus going on. So oatmeal with cottage cheese. I also mix my fiber and my creatine in that. And I eat that. And that's what I eat for breakfast. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of nuts in there. If we have nuts, we don't always have nuts. Logan typically cleans us out of nuts pretty fast. I don't always have them. Sometimes I throw chia seeds in there. Most of the time I just don't because I'm too lazy. I'm just ready to eat. My third breakfast, which is one of my favorite savories that's easy, Weight Watchers, macaroni and cheese, the Vermont cheddar one. I microwave it. When it comes out, I dump my creatine and I dump my fiber in that. And then I mix in about 1/2 to 3/4 of a cup of cottage cheese and I just stir it up real good. Delicious. It is my new favorite. Like, in fact, I would have ate it this morning, except we're out of the mac and cheese because I ate it all last week. My fourth is bacon broccoli. That's the roasted broccoli with just bacon on top. You roast it. It's fucking awesome. It'll take your broccoli to a whole new fucking level. And then 2 eggs with 4 egg whites scrambled with peppers and onions and mushrooms in it. That I don't cook. My sister-in-law prepares ahead of time for me. And so I just microwave it. And so I have her make me 3 of those a week. The other stuff is all stuff I can make if I don't want to eat that. And that's my options. Somebody said Bleck, Weight Watchers mac and cheese. I'm going to tell you, I think it's delicious. I really like the white cheddar one. I love it. I also love Velveeta packs, but y'all know me. I don't like a lot of Weight Watchers dinners, but them damn dry ass pizzas and those macaroni and cheeses. And they used to make one that was a tuna noodle casserole. They fucking quit making it. But I mean, that was my jam for like 20, 30 years ago. I used to eat that with a can of peas dumped on top. Ugh, so good. If you want to hear disgusting though, for those of you who don't like my Weight Watchers macaroni and cheese, here's what I used to do. I used to take a Weight Watchers macaroni and cheese and a can of baked beans and dump it on top and stir it up and eat it. I ate that all the way through high school. I loved it. And it was cheap. And good fiber and a little protein. There you go. So I love stuff like that. All right. Let's see. Do you shave to eat? I didn't see it. Do you shave to eat breakfast? I stopped breakfast because I'm not actually hungry, but my old brain says I need protein. I don't understand why I'm shaving. Do you shave to eat breakfast? Let me tell you what I do. So I am not typically hungry for breakfast anymore, but my days are really busy. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that trying to like have a pissing match with y'all or anything, but what I had found is that I needed to eat breakfast, whether I was hungry or not. because I'm working out in the morning and my workouts were starting to suffer as I was getting, I used to not have to eat breakfast and work out. I mean, I could literally work out 90 minutes to 2 hours, not eat breakfast and be A-okay. As I've been getting later in my 40s, that is not happening anymore. Like this last year, I started really noticing that I would be lifting and I'd get about halfway through my workout and I would feel a little dizzy. Start noticing that I would just get winded so much more than usual. Like my energy levels were tanking. And I just don't think I work out as well anymore. And I still prefer to work out in the mornings. The other thing that because I am busy during the day, like this morning, it was either eat right before this call, or it was going to be almost 2 o'clock before I had an opportunity to eat again. So a lot of times, like, even if I'm not hungry for it, and this is what I want y'all to think about. We want to eat when we're hungry, period. And we want to be asking ourselves if we're hungry. The reason why we do that is because we want to get to where we're listening to our body. I was listening to my body. It was conditioned through years and years and years of not eating because I just wasn't hungry for breakfast to not send up a hunger signal. But when I was listening to when I continued to listen to my body, it was sending up signals. You don't feel really well. Like, you run out of energy. You go into your meetings and you're like spacey. Like, you start I've got to teach from 12 to 1 today. Like, there's all these things that are happening today. And when I really listened to my body, not only before I ate, but long-term, what I noticed was I would probably do better eating breakfast. When we talk about doable hunger, when we're asking, am I hungry and have I had enough? This is not just what's going on in my stomach right now. What we're trying to do is ask the questions so that we are not eating because of mental hunger. Mental hunger is things like, I'm bored. I'm afraid I'll get hungry later. And we do a lot of overeating. You know I would get hungry before 2 p.m. today. And then I use my logical brain, the one that's thinking about my long-term maintenance, weight loss self and stuff, to say, I know you're not physically hungry right now, but would it be a better idea to go ahead and eat, knowing that you will get hungry soon, but then you really can't eat for a while? So I make that trade. The only thing you have, like, when you think about doable hunger for all of you, is I want you to be thinking about, it is about asking questions. It is about reasoning through, not listening to excuses. Like, a lot of you listen to your excuses and you call that reasoning. There is a big difference between, like, thinking through, weighing pros and cons, deciding if this is what, like, you want to have as a pattern on repeat, versus thinking about it, coming up with a list of excuses and talking yourself into something. And the energy there always, like, this, the only way to know the difference is you have to decide the difference. The way I know the difference is when I am trying to con myself into something, there's like a sneaky feeling going on. It's a little bit of it feels like I'm being a salesperson to myself. This will be good because, like, and there's like a part of me that's like, I don't know. When I am reasoning, I'm like, it would be good to eat because, and then when I think about the reason, I'm okay, that literally makes logical sense. Like, that's not because I'm afraid of something. It's literally, the fact is you can't eat again till 2. And you know that you will get hungry. You also know that you've done it plenty of times and you could survive, but it's not the optimal way to show up when you're teaching classes all day. And that is reasoning. So I just want all of you to be thinking about, like, when you're thinking about food, I'm trying to turn you into someone who reasons with themselves. I'm trying to turn you into someone who does slow down and think, like, I want you thinking more about food in a way that is beneficial to you? Because a lot of you say, I'm just so tired of thinking about food. You're not tired of thinking about food. You're tired of thinking you can't control yourself around food. You're tired of the bullshit that you think about food in terms of yourself. So really separate out. If you're thinking about food and all you're doing is reasoning and trying to figure out what's best for you, would you be fucking sick and tired of it? When we're fucking sick and tired of thinking about food, it's because we're probably 90% of it is overthinking, calling ourselves names, worry, anxiety. That's not thinking about food. That's areas that we can work on to think better, to slow down. Okay. Some of y'all are asking, what is creatine? Creatine is just a muscle supplement. I don't advise most of you to take it. My hormone doctor put me on it because I lift a lot of weights. And one of the things that I'm working on this year is adding about 2 to 3 more pounds of muscle. And it takes about a year to add 2 to 3 pounds of muscle. And so creatine is something that you can take that one, it will just kind of give you a little bit. It's not like an energy thing, but what it does is your liver essentially has creatine stores in it, but most people's are really low. And so it helps boost the creatine stores. When you have more creatine stores in your liver, you can typically be stronger in your lifting. And creatine is also one of the few supplements on the market that's been on the market for decades upon decades, that's well researched and tested, that's safe. But what it does is it helps you maintain your muscle while you are lifting and stuff and getting older. So it's, unless you're going to be really lifting heavy, y'all, I don't recommend it. It's not bad for you, but depending on the creatine you get, it could cause some bloating. It could upset your stomach, all this other kind of shit. So don't take it just because I'm taking it. And this is one of the things I really advise y'all to do. Y'all get real obsessed about what I do and what I put in my mouth. A lot of things that I do are fine for y'all to do. Some of the stuff I do, it's because for years and years and years, I have been training like a beast and I'm ready for this stuff. Most of y'all don't need to get fixated on things like creatine and shit like that. You need to get your water in. You need to sleep. Like, because creatine won't help a dehydrated, overeating, exhausted bitch. Creatine won't do shit for you. Won't do shit. Half the shit y'all ask me will never work unless you're not overeating, you're getting your sleep, and you're drinking your water. If you want to lose weight, those three things have got to be going on. Because without it, nothing else that you do, whether you drink my purple water or, you know, whatever it is that y'all get obsessed about, none of that works without the basics. I was literally talking to someone about this yesterday. I've been studying pro athletes. And one of the things that pro athletes do when they go to the gym is they don't start with death sprints. They don't, like an NBA athlete does not start with 3-point shots. They're not running up and down the court. You know what they are? I was watching something the other day about Kobe Bryant back in the day. And when he would go to the gym, like one of the first things he did was he would go and stand right underneath the basketball hoop and he would practice just like he did when he was a little boy. He made sure that he was in rhythm of hitting the net right in front of him, because he's like, why should I back up if I can't hit the net right in front of it? Until I get into the groove of that, I'm not stepping back. His pattern was to start with the simple and the foundations and to make sure he wasn't losing those for fancy shit, because fancy shit would never work without those. And y'all want to get into fancy shit before you're addressing the basics. Like, don't be getting all fancy with enough until you're actually fucking asking the question. Like, don't be sitting there wanting 5,000 methods for stopping at enough if you ain't even gotten good yet at each meal paying attention to if you're asking the goddamn question. Why bother? Now you're just going to put in a bunch of other like gimmicks and tricks on how to stop it enough for the 50% of the time you remember to ask the question, and the other 50% of the time where you're not asking the question, now you're going to beat yourself up for not doing the fancy tools, for not doing enough. Like you're just inviting trouble to yourself. So all of you get better at them fucking basics. That's where the magic lies. Everybody wants to know the name of my fiber supplement. I don't know. Let me tell you how I picked. This is the fourth time I've gotten this question in the last 24 hours. I was supposed, like my person said, take acacia. It's like A-C-A-C-I-A. That's a type of fiber. And I was like, any brand? She's like, I don't care. And I was like, all right. So I went to Amazon, typed in acacia fiber. The first one that could get delivered to my house got picked. That was the only thing I fucking cared about. And was it on Prime? I'm going to pay for shipping. That was my decision process. So, you know, just get one. If you're needing fiber, just get one. I mean, I think y'all overcomplicate your decision-making processes because like me, I don't. I think that's why I move faster. I just don't overthink stuff. If you eat when you're not hungry, then how do you know to stop it enough? I just like pay attention because sometimes just because you're not got a hunger signal doesn't mean you're at enough. Like, so I want you to think about like, you could be, let's say you eat dinner. An hour later, you might not be hungry, but that doesn't mean you don't have room in the inn. 3 hours later, like think about how many meals you bake. 3 hours later, you might not be hungry, but it's not like you've got so, like, it's not like, well, I must still have enough in my stomach. This shit processed. You're just not hungry. That doesn't mean, though, that you couldn't eat a little. And if you notice, every one of my breakfasts are not honkers. Because I'm not that hungry in the morning. So I just don't eat a big breakfast. I don't plan to eat one that's huge because I know I'm not going to need a whole lot. That's it. And then this is the other thing. Like, especially because of enough. I want y'all paying attention to your body because your body is the thing. But y'all get so myopic about it's only paying attention while we're eating. And then like the rest of the day outside of my eating windows, I'm just not paying attention to my body at all. I pay attention all day. And this is how. I know that like about what I'm serving myself, just like a serving of a bagel is one, but I'm adding yogurt to it. Because one bagel, even though it's a serving, it's not enough of a breakfast for me to last me for a few hours. Adding my yogurt to it, other than being delicious, is enough to last me for a few hours because I've paid attention. That's why, like, when I add cottage cheese to my oatmeal, if I add a half a cup of cottage cheese to it, I know that that's about a 2 to 3 hour meal. If I add 3/4 of a cup, I have now bought myself 3 to 4 hours worth of satiety. That's because I've played with it. So if I know I'm going to be eating breakfast and I'm going to have a break at like 11:30 or 12, and I'm eating breakfast at say 8:30 or 9, I'm probably going to eat a little less cottage cheese because if that's when my break is, that's when I'm going to want to eat lunch. And because I've played with breakfast long enough, I know about how long they last me because I was listening to my body the whole time. This is where we start getting into the nuances of it. And for sure, first line of defense is asking, am I hungry? Have I had enough? Like just getting y'all to that point is like, you know, pulling fucking teeth. And when you're doing that and you're doing that consistently, you'll lose weight. And then we start getting into when you start doing that just consistently, asking the questions, paying attention, actually following through on stopping and starting, then you can be like, all right, there are some nuances here. Maybe I do need to be eating breakfast. Maybe I don't. There are some days I don't eat breakfast. On the days I have no meet, like Fridays or no meetings days, I have told everybody I will not have meetings on Fridays. I need a day every week that I can actually fucking catch up on all the other work I don't get to being in all the damn meetings all week. And that's my Friday. I don't wear makeup and I don't do meetings. I also almost never eat breakfast on Fridays because I get up and guess what? I get busy working. Then I just go, 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 go. And I'm so in flow, I'm not thinking about it. But I'm not going to be doing anything that requires it. Usually on Fridays, I work out later in the day. because I want to take advantage of being able to just get a lot of work done and not be interrupted. So, but I guess my point for all of you is I want you to nuance all of this to be special to you. When you are thinking about it through the lens of how can I make this special for me? How can I make this work in my life? How does this set me up to feel good energetically, nutritionally, emotionally? When you're thinking through it through those lenses, none of you are going to be steered wrong. You get steered wrong when you allow yourself to think through the lens of I've got to be on or off. I got to do exactly as it says, or I'm a fuck up, or I've screwed up and will never lose weight. Like when you are like thinking about food, like, well, I shouldn't eat this and I'm terrified of that. And what if this, when you're doing everything from fear, I'm going to tell you, that's why y'all are like having struggles with weight loss. That's why you gain weight. That thinking feels safe. Like it's doing something for you. The anxiety over everything, like if I just worry enough, I won't miss something. You're missing it all because of it. You're making it exponentially harder. You're not asking questions that allow you to develop that food relationship, that body relationship, and that life that you actually want to be having. So we have to get onto that path. All right, let's look at a few announcements. Number one is, if you did not get to attend our workshop this weekend, never fear, my dear, we have it up in the replays as of now. Your 12-week weight loss plan is now available on nobswomen.com. You can watch it at your leisure. And every week for the next 12 weeks, you're going to get an email from us on Mondays helping you stay on track with your plan. So that's one of the things that we added in this year. This is also the first week of the No BS Hunger Games Challenge. Each week, we are going to focus on some newer aspects of the basics, kind of like what I was talking about today. I kind of gave you some previews of stuff we'll be going deeper into for later the month. And we're going to be challenging you to keep track of data all month long. There are going to be some pop-up posts in the No BS Facebook group, so make sure you're checking in there from our coaches with some fun questions. And we are also going to be giving away prizes again this month. So at the end of the month, we will announce all of that. Make sure you mark your calendars to put everything together. The Doable Hunger Challenge Week, each day during the week of January 22nd through the 26th. So we're going to do a lot of teaching, a lot of following our plan, all kinds of stuff. The first part of January, but January 22nd through the 26th is going to be the Epic Doable Hunger Challenge Week. So each day there will be some type of challenge from the coaches in Facebook. Hey, my team, we also need to make sure that we put that on the challenge doable, the Hunger Games page, wherever we have all the information for that. Let's make sure we put up those challenges for the people who are not on Facebook. All right. Today, the three things you need to know about waiting for hunger. Number one, it is normal to need to create safety around waiting for hunger. So for a lot of us, we have restricted food for a long time. Like I want you to think about if you've done Weight Watchers. Like Weight Watchers to me is like almost like the woman's rite of passage. Like I think we all, it's almost like you're not a woman unless you've done Weight Watchers at one point in your life. Unfortunately. So I want you to think about, like, if we use them as an example, very often you would get some points, and maybe in the beginning it seemed like plenty, but then there would always be a time where you just didn't have enough points, and you would come into dinner and you would have like three, so you might be able to eat you a banana or something, and your body was hungry, but you had to override it. You had to actually be hungry to lose weight. And I mean, not natural hunger, but you ran out of calories or points for the day, and you were now going to have to starve to meet your daily allotment. Or you've done other diets, like the back in the day when they used to do those HC whatever shots and stuff, where you got 500 calories to eat for the day, crap like that. When your body has actually been restricted repeatedly over and over again, which if y'all don't know, the average woman by the age of 40 has done 130 diets, some multiple times, but over 130 diets by the age of 40. That is an average for women. I know it's shocking, but when you've done that over the course of your life, here's what happens. Your body gets triggered into thinking about restriction, and it associates it with hunger. Because to your body, hunger is no longer what happens when you're just hungry. Hunger to your body is like, oh God, we need to stay away from hunger, because anytime I've tried to use hunger with her, it's gone into starving. Like, we have just done some asshole shit. And the body remembers everything. There's a wonderful book called The Body Keeps the Score. I've been listening to it. It's really good. I highly recommend it for anybody who like is really like wants to learn more about just like trauma imprints and just like all these types of things. So, the other thing that can happen is, so we have like a trauma response to being hungry due to other diets we've done. We also have a lot of rules around what we should, like how much we should eat and when we should eat, when we should have breakfast, all these things. And so that creates the shoulding effect. Just thinking about things in that way creates a restrictive feeling in your body. So like if you are like with me, I don't think like, well, I shouldn't eat breakfast, even though I know I feel better when I do. Well, I shouldn't eat breakfast because Corinne says I should wait until I'm hungry, even though I know it's going to be a long fucking time before I get to eat. Well, I shouldn't eat breakfast because I'm not hungry, and whatever horseshit reason you can pile on top. So that will create restriction. And then what happens is that when your body, when you are waiting for hunger and you start sensing hunger, you get panicked. A lot of you will feel this. A lot of you have a fear of hunger for a variety of reasons. We fear hunger sometimes because when we've gotten hungry, we've overate. Being hungry isn't what actually caused the overeating. Being hungry had a thought like, this is too much. I can't handle this. I shouldn't be this hungry. Or when you get overly hungry, there's a thought like, I should eat extra. I earned it. Well, because I didn't eat enough then, I can eat more now. Whenever we have those thoughts attached to hunger, that's what drives overeating. It's not the hunger sensation itself. Now, the hunger feeling itself can trigger those thoughts. And this is where, if you're having that kind of thinking, where you're thinking things like, when I get hungry, we have to be really careful to slow ourselves down and to say, in the past, this is where we go to the four N's. In the past, it makes sense. This is just normalizing. I have starved myself. In the past, I have ignored my hunger signals, thinking I didn't deserve to eat. I binged, therefore, I can't have breakfast today. I've got to be good to make up for yesterday. When, like, it would be really normal for me to feel hunger and to feel anxiety along with it, simply because of how I've treated myself in the past. So what that does is it just kind of slows things down. It gets you alert to there's nothing to truly fear about hunger. I'm just feeling fear. We're calling out our fear. And then you go to neutralize. And this is where you just say to yourself, it's okay to be hungry. It's also okay to be a little afraid. Let's see what, like, those two things to me are neutralized statements. Those are factual. It is okay for you to be a little hungry. We all know factually, nothing's going to happen to you if you're just a little hungry. It's also okay to be afraid, because most of you are walking around afraid all the fucking time. I want you to think about it. Y'all are like, I'm so worried about being afraid. I'm like, I don't know. Y'all seem to be afraid all the fucking time and functioning just well. It may not feel good, but you still go to work. You still do shit. You're still getting along in your life. So it is true to tell ourselves, you know, it's okay to feel afraid sometimes. So when we're just neutralizing, all we're doing with neutralizing is just trying to tell something true there. Don't get like, it can be factual. Sometimes it's easy to make things factual, which is, it's time to eat breakfast. I'm either hungry or I'm not. That could be the facts. It could also just be something that's factually feels true to you, but it's not damaging. Then we go to the next best thought or action, which is like, I can wait for the next meal, but I may just feel anxious. I'm not actually physically hungry right now. I'm just worrying about hunger. Like, I'm going to tell all of you, y'all look for way too many perfect thoughts. And I think the power is in just telling yourself the truth of what's going on. Like, just listening for that authenticity there and just saying like, I will be okay. I just don't like how this feels. But like, nothing actually bad is happening. I can see why I'm afraid of hunger because of past experiences. I understand why my body's freaking out right now. I know I'm afraid I might overeat later. But I'm going to just see if I try calming myself down, if that continues to happen. Anything like that will work. So the second thing that you need to know about waiting for hunger. So the first one is, we got to create safety around it. Because if you're afraid of hunger, it's going to be hard for you to wait for hunger. You're not going to want to do it. You're not going to want to do things that don't feel safe. So we have to create that level of safety. The second thing is, don't be shocked that some days you're hungrier than others. And then don't be proud on the days you're not as hungry. Your body is just going to send up different signals depending on the day, depending on your mood, depending on what you ate the day before, depending on how much you worked out, how much you thought, how much work you did, what the weather's doing outside. There are a bajillion factors that can affect your hunger. The one thing that you can always take to the bank is, no matter what, you can always decide if you need to eat right now or not. Reminding yourself that no matter what, whether you're hungry or not, you have permission to eat. We are just becoming someone who reasons before they eat. We're not going to react and eat. We're not going to make excuses and eat. We are becoming people who reason with ourselves before we eat. And reasoning with yourself is about a 10 second to up to 90 second decision sometimes. Other day, this was like just a couple days ago. I can't remember what was happening. I think I was working on the body image camp or something, and I was just restless as fuck that day. And I had had my lunch and I knew I was not hungry, but I didn't have JJ food. So I had literally for 2 to 3 days just been, I felt like I was eating scraps. We had ordered Uber Eats and I ate part of a salad. The next day I was picking at the meat on the salad and that ended up being like lunch. Like, there was just like these 3 days where I'm just like trying to put together shit to eat. And, you know, like, I was just like, cannot wait for my sister-in-law to get back so I can have some real fucking food. You know me, I ain't gonna cook. So I was sitting there and I was working, and y'all, I was like just craving. I was actually craving meat. I tend to crave meat and salt a lot because I run really low on electrolytes. Well, I didn't have nothing salty. There was no meat in that refrigerator. Only thing was in there was like fucking Greek yogurt, protein bars, and all this other stuff. And I don't want none of that. But I stood in the fridge with it open, like literally just looking into a vast void of nothingness, talking to myself about, you are not really hungry. It's like, if you were really hungry, you'd just eat that little bit of Greek yogurt right there. You're just wanting something. And why are you craving shit? And it's because I didn't want to be working. I just didn't want to be working. I believe it was New Year's Day, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember which day it was, but it was a day where it felt like nobody was working but me. Well, except for my boys, they were working. And I was just kind of having a pity party. And I wanted to be doing anything but that. And I stood in the fridge for like 90 seconds saying, you are just not hungry. Like Greek yogurt doesn't even sound good. If Greek yogurt doesn't sound good, go set your ass down. And it took me a while, like, and I kept like digging through the refrigerator, looking for things just in case I missed something savory that I could eat. I am not joking. I was peeking into Logan's to-go containers that he had had. And of course, Logan eats very different than me. Like, and he doesn't leave much, but like, never looks palatable. Let me put it that way. So I went back to the couch and I literally sat there kind of angry, like, I don't want to be working, blah, blah. And I finally just said, look, you ain't got to work. You have literally spent the last probably 3 minutes of your life not working, but feeling like you're working because you're bitching about working and not wanting to and just dreading it at this point. And so I just told myself, put on something on TV, set a timer for 30 minutes. And if after 30 minutes you don't want to work anymore, then don't work anymore. But just take a fucking break if that's really what all is going on. So I laid there, I put something on, and I will tell you the first 5 to 10 minutes of that, I was still thinking about food. And I was just telling myself, no, we're not eating. Like, watch TV. You're obviously not hungry. By the end of the 30 minutes, I was kind of done thinking about food, but I shit you not. The second the 30 minutes is over and my little timer goes off, I sit back up and I was back to thinking about food because I was dreading going back to work. And I finally just said, you need to go back to work. You're just now going to work with an urge. Once I got back to work, and guess what? The urge went away. It just did. You know? Was any of that fun? Not really. But also, what's not fun would have been finding something to eat and just eating some bullshit, getting a lot of work done. But then, because this is what normally happens for me, and I don't know if this happens for y'all. If I eat something, then now I'm like, okay, go back to work. And I will tell you the thought that I found that makes me productive, and it's not a good one. I will go back to work and I will be very focused and productive because I'm not thinking about food anymore. But I will be sitting there thinking, well, now you need to work because you had that snack. And so that just creates like a tit for tat system in your head. And I had to really teach myself, we have got to break that habit because I can't become someone that needs a snack to get through the tough parts of work. Because the second you formulate that habit, you will snack more and more and more. Because then your brain will start associating that every time you've got to do something you dread, or that you're worried about, or that you're scared of doing, or whatever it is, your brain will make that like, oh, I should send up food because she's getting ready to do something she doesn't like. She's going to need this in order to get that done. That's how your brain will make sense of it. Then you're stuck with fighting more and more urges. So break the habit of that. It only takes working miserably a few times to where you get out of the habit of that. And then sometimes you'll just have days where it will come back and you'll be like me and you'll just have to sit there and navigate through it. Now, it hasn't happened since. It probably won't happen for a few more weeks, but I guarantee you my days are coming again. Like at certain points, you just get enough stress, old habits will come back because like I had myself really cranked up this week. like really anxious and like the new year, like a lot of y'all are like, new year, new me, and all this other stuff. I'm like, oh, new year, I don't know if I can do this again. Like literally, my thought going into the new year is like, oh shit, I had a very traumatic 2023. It was not great. There was good things, but it was the roughest year for me emotionally in a long damn time. I mean, just other day, I just went through and kind of listed everything. Like I'd forgotten some of the shit that had even happened in 2023. And I was like, no wonder I felt ragged by the end of the year. And for me, going into it has almost been like, I've been terrified of starting another year. Like I barely survived last year and now I got to do it all over again. And I've been working through that of like, I did survive last year and I learned a lot and we will not do that again. And that's what I've been really working with myself. How do I get out of that? Because I don't want to be afraid of the next year. I want to be in control of my destiny for the next year. And there's only one person that controls your destiny. That's you. So we want to make sure, back to the point, is there's just going to be days you're hungrier. There's going to be days your urges spike. There are going to be days you're not hungry at all. You're just having like, and I wouldn't call those the good days. Would you say these are the less hungry days? Sometimes my least hungry days are my most anxiety-filled days. That's not a good day. Like, stop associating the day being good or bad based on your hunger levels, based on your weight. There's so much more about life to base whether or not it was a good day or a bad day. But when we make it all about that, and I'm just going to tell y'all, stop saying, well, if I didn't eat a lot today, that was a good day. That is signaling to your brain that you should never eat a lot. There are some days we need to eat more than others. But if you start lowering it down to where this, I barely ate, you know, like I barely ate food, that's the good amount. Anything above that that meets your body's needs now is associated as a bad day. And we don't want to teach our brains that stuff. The last thing is you got to be willing to ask, what am I really hungry for? This is the third component. So, number one, is you got to create some safety around hunger. You got to make it okay to be hungry and it not be a terrible ass event. And number two is making sure that you understand there are days I'll be hungrier, there are days I won't be as hungry. None are good or bad. We're just listening to our body and working with it. We're not working against it anymore. That last one is you got to be asking, what am I really hungry for? So when you're asking the question, am I hungry? Just ask yourself, am I physically hungry? Because if I'm not physically hungry, then you just ask yourself, then what am I emotionally hungry for? What else could I be hungry for in life right now? Here are some of the things that y'all could be hungry for. One could be supportive connections. Having like enough, like a lot of times when you're like, some of y'all will say you're lonely. So you could be hungry for connection, whether that's with a partner or you need to go and find you some connection. You know, there's a lot of women inside of No BS that are not in marriages that they would call their partner their best friend. They love them. They're not going anywhere. They're like, you know, my life's pretty good. But my partner is not like my ride or die. And that's okay. So if you don't have that in your partnership, find it in with us. You know, I love my husband. I will say he's my best friend and that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of Corinne's life that I do not talk to him about. Not because I hide it, but it's like he's never gonna make me feel better about it. That is not his wheelhouse. He sucks at it. If I'm having body shame and shit like that, oh, I'm going to Jane or my coach. I am not going to Chris because Chris is just going to tell me I'm beautiful. And Chris is just going to, hello, Chris. He come out of the room right as I scream that out. Don't worry. I'm not talking bad about you. But he's not the person I can go to for that stuff because he's going to want me to feel better. He's just going to tell me, you're beautiful. I don't know why you think like that. And I'm going to get angry because I'm like, you're not listening to me. I'm feeling ugly right now. I don't want him to tell me I'm ugly, but I don't want him fixing it either. You know, I want somebody like Jane who's like commiserating. Like, I get it. I have bad days too. I wonder why we think this on some days. Like, I want somebody like that. And I have learned that, you know, it's good. Like, as Chris and I, we have our things. But man, he is not my ride or die on a lot of things. And it ain't because he don't want to or because he's a dick. It's just because he sucks at it. That's not what I need. So I went and found me people that I needed. Another thing you can be hungry for is stress relief methods. A lot of us have nothing other than food to relieve stress. We do not journal. We do not have people we talk to. We do not take walks. We have never tried meditation. We don't have a favorite TV show we watch. You've got to come up with different ways to relieve stress. Another one is you could be hungry for healthier coping habits, like I was talking about, hobbies and journaling. Lord, my throat. Then the next one could be self-kindness. You might realize I spend the bulk of my day beating myself up. What I'm actually hungry for is a few nice words to myself. You might be hungry for mindful eating. Like if you never get breaks and you're constantly eating in the car, eating on the go, it could be like you're just not giving yourself an opportunity to actually enjoy your food. You could actually be hungry for a slower eating experience where you can actually taste it and enjoy it and savor it. Some of you might be hungry for regular movement. Sometimes we're eating when a walk will do us and we could use it and our body would thank us for it. Some of us need more positive distractions. Like I said, like I watch a wild amount of TV at night. For me, that is the best way to zone out. We get into a show and we watch like 2 to 3 hours a night. No shame in that game. I do a lot of shit during the day. I wake up before literally the roosters. There's a rooster farm a block away from me. Literally a rooster farm and a goat yoga farm right next to that. I'm in the country. Like seriously, like I'm in a big development and we are smack dab in the middle of the country. And them roosters are rarely up when Corinne's up. I don't need to feel ashamed that for 2 to 3 hours at night, I am unplugged and letting this brain rest and watching something. Sometimes we just need to set some boundaries. We're hungry for more boundaries. We're not asking for help. We're not like, I will tell you, when I'm not in the mood, if my parents are calling, I'm not answering. That's my personal boundary. I don't talk to people when I'm exhausted and tired and not feeling myself. So we have to think about what are we actually hungry for? All right. That's my talk on diving deep into hunger. What I would love for y'all to focus on this week is really thinking about your relationship with hunger. Like, are you willing to be hungry? How hungry do you think you have to be in order to lose weight? It's a good question for you to be examining for yourself. Are you afraid of being hungry at times and why? What do you need to hear from yourself to make being hungry okay? What is the difference between diet hunger and no BS weight loss hunger? Would probably be another good question for a lot of y'all when it comes to hunger. Now, I'm just making this shit up on the fly. Don't be like, Corinne, what'd you just say? I don't know. When the call comes out, listen to it again. I think we always put transcripts in there. You can always get them from there. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you on Sunday for coaching. For this week, though, I want you really digging into hunger. And I want you challenging your story around hunger. Not necessarily challenging your hunger by doing too much with hunger. I want you to challenge everything that you think about hunger. Here's one last question I'll leave you with that I think is good. How can I have an amazing, like, no, what is an amazing relationship with hunger and how can I develop that? Now, that's a question I would love to see getting answered inside the Facebook group. So anybody that wants to go in there and post all that, you might just hear from me. Make sure you tag me. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.